Survey of Anglican History, Episode 9, Viking Activity in the British Isles and the Danelaw. Part 1, Viking Activity in the British Isles. Viking activity in the British Isles occurred during the early Middle Ages, the 8th to the 11th centuries, when Scandinavians traveled to the British Isles to raid, conquer, settle, and trade. They are generally referred to as Vikings, but some scholars debate whether the term Viking represented all Scandinavian settlers, or just those who used violence. At the start of the early medieval period, Scandinavian kingdoms had developed trade links reaching as far as southern Europe and the Mediterranean, giving them access to foreign imports such as silver, gold, bronze, and spices. These trade links also extended westwards into Ireland and Britain. In the last decade of the 8th century, Viking raiders sacked several Christian monasteries in northern Britain, and over the next three centuries they launched increasingly large-scale invasions and settled in many areas, especially in eastern Britain and Ireland, the islands north and west of Scotland, and the Isle of Man. Background of local ethnic groups. During the early medieval period, the islands of Ireland and Britain were each culturally, linguistically, and religiously divided among various peoples. Language and religion. The languages of the Celtic Britons and of the Gaels descended from the Celtic languages spoken by Iron Age inhabitants of Europe, in Ireland and parts of western Scotland, as well as in the Isle of Man. People spoke an early form of Celtic Gaelic known as Old Irish. In Cornwall, Cumbria, Wales, and southwest Scotland, the Celtic Brythonic languages were spoken. Their modern descendants include Welsh and Cornish. The Picts, who spoke the Pictish language, lived in the area north of the Forth and Clyde rivers, which now constitutes a large portion of modern-day Scotland. Due to the scarcity of writing in Pictish, which survives only in Ogham, views differ as to whether Pictish was a Celtic language like those spoken further south, or perhaps even a non-Indo-European language like Basque. However, most inscriptions and place names hint towards the Picts being Celtic in language and culture. Much of southern Britain had become the various kingdoms of Anglo-Saxon England, where Anglo-Saxon migrants from continental Europe had settled during the 5th century, bringing with them their own Germanic language, known as Old English, polytheistic religion, and cultural practices. Many peoples of Britain and Ireland had already converted to Christianity from their older pre-Christian polytheistic religions, including the distinct polytheistic religion, Anglo-Saxon paganism, practiced by the Anglo-Saxons. Distribution of ethnic groups. In northern Britain, in the area roughly corresponding to modern-day Scotland, lived three distinct ethnic groups in their own respective kingdoms: the Picts, Scots, and Britons. The Pictish cultural group dominated the majority of Scotland, with major populations concentrated between the Firth of Forth and the River Dee, as well as in Sutherland, Caithness, and Orkney. The Scots, according to written sources, constituted a tribal group which had crossed to Britain from Dal Riada in the north of Ireland during the late 5th century. The northern Britons lived in the Old North, in parts of what have become southern Scotland and northern England. And by the 7th or 8th centuries, these had apparently come under the political control of Anglo-Saxons. By the mid-9th century, Anglo-Saxon England comprised four separate and independent kingdoms: East Anglia, Wessex, Northumbria, and Mercia, the last of which was the strongest military power. Class system. Between 500,000 and 1,000,000 people lived in England at this time, with society being rigidly hierarchical. The class system had a king and his aldermen at the top, under whom ranked the thanes, or landholders, and then the various categories of agricultural workers below them. Beneath all of these was a class of slaves, who may have made up as much as a quarter of the population. The majority of the populace lived in the countryside, although a few large towns had developed, notably London and York, which became centers of royal and ecclesiastical administration. There were also a number of trading ports, such as Hamwick and Ipswich, which engaged in foreign trade. Viking raids. 780s, 850. Viking raids began in England in the late 8th century, primarily on monasteries. These monasteries had often been positioned on small islands and in other remote coastal areas so that the monks could live in seclusion, devoting themselves to worship without the interference of other elements of society. At the same time, it made them isolated and unprotected targets for attack by sea. The first recorded raid was on the south coast at Portland, Dorset in 789. The Anglo-Saxon Chronicle described the Vikings as heathen men. The first monastery to be raided was at Lindisfarne in 793, off the northeast coast of England. Monasteries and minster churches were popular targets as they were wealthy and had valuable objects that were portable. The Anglo-Saxon Chronicle for the year 840 says that Ethelwulf of Wessex was defeated at Carhampton, Somerset, after 35 Viking ships had landed in the area. The first known account of a Viking raid of the Viking era comes from 789, when three ships from Hordaland, in modern Norway, landed in the Isle of Portland on the southern coast of Wessex. When approached by Beduhird, the royal reeve from Dorchester, whose job it was to identify all foreign merchants entering the kingdom, they killed him. There were almost certainly unrecorded earlier raids. In a document dating to 792, King Offa of Mercia set out privileges granted to monasteries and churches in Kent, but he excluded military service against seaborne pirates with migrating fleets, showing that Viking raids were already an established problem. In a letter of 790-92 to King Ethelred I of Northumbria, Alcuin berated English people for copying the fashions of pagans who menaced them with terror. This shows that there were already close contacts between the two peoples, and the Vikings would have been well informed about their targets. The next recorded attack against the Anglo-Saxons came the following year, in 793, when the monastery at Lindisfarne, an island just off the northeast coast of England, was sacked by a Viking raiding party on 8th of June. The following year, they sacked the nearby Monkwarmouth Jarrow Abbey. The Vikings met with stronger resistance than they had expected. Their leaders were killed. The raiders escaped, only to have their ships beached at Tynemouth and the crews killed by locals. This represented one of the last raids on England for about 40 years. The Vikings focused instead on Ireland and Scotland. In 795, they once again attacked, this time raiding Iona Abbey off Scotland's west coast. This monastery was attacked again in 802 and 806, when 68 people living there were killed. After this devastation, the monastic community at Iona abandoned the site and fled to Kells in Ireland. In the first decade of the 9th century, Viking raiders began to attack coastal districts of Ireland. In 835, the first major Viking raid in southern England took place and was directed against the Isle of Sheppey. And in a battle in 839, Vikings inflicted heavy defeats against the Picts, killing Uan, the king of the Picts, his brother Bran, and Eadh, son of Boanta, king of Dal Riata. According to Norse sagas, in 865 the legendary Viking chief Ragnar Lodbrok fell into the hands of King Ella of Northumbria. Ella allegedly had Ragnar thrown into a snake pit. It is said that Ragnar's enraged sons, taking advantage of political instability in England, recruited the great heathen army, which landed in the kingdom of East Anglia that year. There is no proof that this legend has any basis in history. However, it is known that several of the Viking leaders grouped their bands together to form one great army that landed in the Kingdom of East Anglia to start their attempted conquest of England in 866. In 867, the great army went north and captured York, but Ella, together with support from the other English kingdoms, attempted to retake the city. He was unsuccessful. The annals for the year says that Ella was killed during the battle, but according to legend, he was captured by the Vikings, who executed or blood-eagled him as punishment for Ragnar's murder. England runestones. the England Rune Stones, Swedish, England Stenarna, is a group of about 30 rune stones in Sweden which refer to Viking Age voyages to England. They constitute one of the largest groups of rune stones that mention voyages to other countries, and they are comparable in number only to the approximately 30 Greece rune stones and the 26 Ingvar rune stones, of which the latter refer to a Viking expedition to the Middle East. They were engraved in Old Norse with the Younger Futhark. The Anglo-Saxon rulers paid large sums, danegilds, to Vikings, who mostly came from Denmark and Sweden, arriving to the English shores during the 990s and the first decades of the 11th century. Some rune stones relate of these danegilds, such as the Yttergata runestone, U344, which tells of Ulf of Beresta, who received the danegild three times, and the last one he received from Canute the Great. Canute sent home most of the Vikings who had helped him conquer England, but he kept a strong bodyguard, the Ingalli Degrees, and its members are also mentioned on several rune stones. The vast majority of the rune stones, 27, were raised in Sweden, and 17 of those located around Lake Mälaren on the east coast. Denmark, in its present-day borders, has no such rune stones, but there is a rune stone in Scania which mentions London. There are also single cases of such rune stones located in Norway and in Schleswig, Germany. Some Vikings, such as Guiduvir, did not only attack England, but also Saxony, as reported by the Grinda rune stone So 66 in Södermanland. Treasure hoards. Various hoards of treasure were buried in England at this time. Some of these may have been deposited by Anglo-Saxons attempting to hide their wealth from Viking raiders, and others by the Viking raiders as a way of protecting their looted treasure. One of these hoards, discovered in Croydon, historically part of Surrey, now in Greater London, in 1862, contained 250 coins, 3 silver ingots, and part of a fourth, as well as 4 pieces of hack silver in a linen bag. Archaeologists interpret this as loot collected by a member of the Viking army. By dating the artifacts, archaeologists estimated that this hoard had been buried in 872, when the army wintered in London. The coins themselves came from a wide range of different kingdoms, with Wessex, Mercian, and East Anglian examples found alongside foreign imports from Carolingian dynasty Francia, and from the Arab world. Not all such Viking hoards in England contain coins, however. For example, at Bowes Moor, Durham, 19 silver ingots were discovered, whilst at Orton Scar, Cumbria, a silver neck ring and penannular brooch were uncovered. The historian Peter Hunter Blair believed that the success of the Viking raids and the complete unpreparedness of Britain to meet such attacks became major factors in the subsequent Viking invasions and colonization of large parts of the British Isles. Invasion and Danelaw, 865 to 954. From 865, the Viking attitude towards the British Isles changed as they began to see it as a place for potential colonization rather than simply a place to raid. As a result of this, larger armies began arriving on Britain's shores with the intention of conquering land and constructing settlements there. The early Viking settlers would have appeared visibly different from the Anglo-Saxon populace, wearing Scandinavian styles of jewelry and probably also wearing their own peculiar styles of clothing. Viking and Anglo-Saxon men also had different hairstyles. Viking men's hair was shaved at the back and left shaggy on the front, whilst the Anglo-Saxons typically wore their hair long. England. In 865, a group of hitherto uncoordinated bands of predominantly Danish Vikings joined to form a large army and landed in East Anglia. The Anglo-Saxon Chronicle described this force as the Michael Heathen Here, Great Heathen Army, and went on to say that it was led by Ivar the Boneless and Halfdan Ragnarsson. The army crossed the Midlands into Northumbria and captured York, Jorvik, the major city in the Kingdom of Northumbria, in 866. Counterattacks concluded in a decisive defeat for Anglo-Saxon forces at York on March 21st, 867, and the deaths of Northumbrian leaders Ella and Osbert. In 871, the Great Heathen Army was reinforced by another Danish force known as the Great Summer Army, led by Guthrum. In 875, the Great Heathen Army split into two bands, with Guthrum leading one back to Wessex, and Halfdan taking his followers north. Then in 876, Halfdan shared out Northumbrian land south of the Tees amongst his men, who plowed the land and supported themselves, founding the territory later known as the Danelaw. Other Anglo-Saxon kings began to capitulate to the Viking demands and surrendered land to Viking settlers. In addition, many areas in eastern and northern England, including all but the northernmost parts of Northumbria, came under the direct rule of Viking leaders or their puppet kings. King Ethelred of Wessex, who had been leading the conflict against the Vikings, died in 871 and was succeeded on the throne of Wessex by his younger brother Alfred. The Viking king of Northumbria, Halfdan Ragnarsson, one of the leaders of the Viking Great Army, known to the Anglo-Saxons as the Great Heathen Army, surrendered his lands to a second wave of Viking invaders in 876. In the next 4 years, Vikings gained further land in the kingdoms of Mercia and East Anglia as well. King Alfred continued his conflict with the invading forces, but was driven back into Somerset in the southwest of his kingdom in 878, where he was forced to take refuge in the marshes of Athelney. Alfred regrouped his military forces and defeated the armies of the Viking monarch of East Anglia, Guthrum, at the Battle of Edington, May 878. Sometime after the Battle of Edington, a treaty was agreed that set out the lasting peace terms between the two kings that included the boundaries of each of their kingdoms. It is known as the Treaty of Alfred and Guthrum. The treaty is one of the few existing documents of Alfred's reign and survives in Old English in Corpus Christi College, Cambridge, Manuscript 383, and in a Latin compilation known as Quadripartitus. The areas to the north and east became known as the Danelaw because it was under Viking political influence, whilst those areas to the south and west remained under Anglo-Saxon dominance. Alfred's government set about constructing a series of defended towns or burhs, began the construction of a navy, and organized a militia system, the Ferd, whereby half of his peasant army remained on active service at any one time. To maintain the burhs and the standing army, he set up a taxation and conscription system known as the Burgle Hittage. In 892, a new Viking army, with 250 ships, established itself in Appledore, Kent, and another army of 80 ships soon afterwards in Milton Regis. The army then launched a continuous series of attacks on Wessex. However, due in part to the efforts of Alfred and his army, the kingdom's new defenses proved to be a success, and the Viking invaders were met with a determined resistance and made less of an impact than they had hoped. By 896, the invaders dispersed, instead settling in East Anglia and Northumbria, with some instead sailing to Normandy. By the late 9th century, the Vikings had overrun most of the Anglo-Saxon kingdoms that constituted England at the time. However, Alfred the Great, King of Wessex, defeated the Vikings at the Battle of Edington in 878. The resultant treaty gave the Danes control of northern and eastern England, with Alfred and his successors controlling Wessex. But the whole of England was unified with Norway and Denmark in the 11th century during the reign of the Danish king Canute the Great. Alfred's policy of opposing the Viking settlers continued under his daughter Æthelfold, who married Ethelred, Ealdorman of Mercia, and also under her brother, King Edward the Elder, reigned 899 to 924. When Edward died in July 924, his son Æthelstan became king. In 927, he conquered the last remaining Viking kingdom, York, making him the first Anglo-Saxon ruler of the whole of England. In 934, he invaded Scotland and forced Constantine II to submit to him, but Æthelstan's rule was resented by the Scots and Vikings, and in 937, they invaded England. Æthelstan defeated them at the Battle of Brunanburh, a victory which gave him great prestige both in the British Isles and on the continent, and led to the collapse of Viking power in northern Britain. After his death in 939, the Vikings seized back control of York, and it was not finally reconquered until 954. Edward's son Edmund became king of the English in 939. However, when Edmund was killed in a brawl, his younger brother, Edred of Wessex, took over as king. Then in 947, the Northumbrians rejected Edred and made the Norwegian Erik Pludax, Erik Haraldsson, their king. Edred responded by invading and ravaging Northumbria. When the Saxons headed back south, Erik Bludax's army caught up with some of them at Castleford and made great slaughter. Edred threatened to destroy Northumbria in revenge, so the Northumbrians turned their back on Erik and acknowledged Edred as their king. The Northumbrians then had another change of heart and accepted Olaf Sitrickson as their ruler, only to have Erik Bludax remove him and become king of the Northumbrians again. Then, in 954, Erik Bludax was expelled for the second and final time by Edred. Bludax was the last Norse king of Northumbria. Second invasion, 980-1042. England. Under the reign of Wessex King Edgar the Peaceful, England came to be further politically unified, with Edgar coming to be recognized as the king of all England by both Anglo-Saxon and Viking populations living in the country. However, in the reigns of his son Edward the Martyr, who was murdered in 978, and then Ethelred the Unready, the political strength of the English monarchy waned, and in 980, raiders from Scandinavia resumed attacks against England. The English government decided that the only way of dealing with these attackers was to pay them protection money, and so in 991, they gave them £10,000. This fee did not prove to be enough. And over the next decade, the English kingdom was forced to pay the Viking attackers increasingly large sums of money. Many English began to demand that a more hostile approach be taken against the Vikings. And so, on St. Brice's Day in 902, King Ethelred proclaimed that all Danes living in England would be executed. It would come to be known as the St. Brice's Day Massacre. The news of the massacre reached King Swain Forkbeard in Denmark. It is believed that Swain's sister Gunhilda could have been among the victims, which prompted Swain to raid England the following year, when Exeter was burned down. Hampshire, Wiltshire, Wilton, and Salisbury also fell victim to the Viking revenge attack. Swain continued his raid in England, and in 1004, his Viking army looted East Anglia, plundered Thetford, and sacked Norwich before he once again returned to Denmark. Further raids took place in 1006-1007, then Swain was paid over 10,000 in pounds of silver to leave. And in 1009-1012, Thorkel the Tall led a Viking invasion into England. In 1013, Swain Forkbeard launched a full-scale invasion of England. After a few months of claiming submission over England and a successful attack on London, Ethelred fled to Normandy, leading Swain to take the English throne. Swain died 5 weeks later, and Ethelred returned, driving out Swain's son, Canute. But in 1015, Cnut returned with a fleet of 200 ships, launching a hard-fought campaign that would last for over a year. After his victory over English forces at the Battle of Ascendon, Canute and Edmund Ironside agreed to divide England between them. Canute took the north and Edmund the south. Whoever outlived the other becomes king of all England. Canute became king of England upon Edmund's death on the 30th of November and was crowned later in 1017, subsequently ruling over both the Danish and English kingdoms. Following Canute's death in 1035, the two kingdoms were once more declared independent and remained so, apart from a short period from 1042 when 242 when Knut's son Harthacnut ascended the English throne. Harald's invasion, 1066. Harald Hardrada, king of Norway, led an invasion of England in 1066 with 300 longships and 10,000 soldiers, attempting to seize the English throne during the succession dispute following the death of Edward the Confessor. He met initial success, defeating the outnumbered forces mustered by the earldoms of Northumbria and Mercia at the Battle of Fulford. whilst basking in his victory and occupying Northumbria in preparation for the advance south. Harald's army was surprised by a similarly sized force led by King Harald Godwinson, which had managed to force march all the way there from London in a week. The invasion was repulsed at the Battle of Stamford Bridge, and Hardrada was killed along with most of his men, whilst the Viking attempt was unsuccessful. The near-simultaneous Norman invasion was successful in the south at the Battle of Hastings. Hardrada's invasion and defeat has been described as the end of the Viking Age in Britain. Written records. Archaeologists James Graham Campbell and Colleen E. Beatty noted that there was a lack of historical sources discussing the earliest Viking encounters with the British Isles, which would have most probably been amongst the Northern Ireland groups, those closest to Scandinavia. The Irish annals provide us with accounts of much Viking activity during the 9th and 10th centuries. The England rune stones, concentrated in Sweden, give accounts of the voyages from the Viking perspective. The Viking raids that affected Anglo-Saxon England were primarily documented in the Anglo-Saxon Chronicle, a collection of annals initially written in the late 9th century, most probably in the Kingdom of Wessex during the reign of Alfred the Great. The Chronicle is, however, a biased source, acting as a piece of wartime propaganda written on behalf of the Anglo-Saxon forces against their Viking opponents, and, in many cases, greatly exaggerates the size of the Viking fleets and armies, thereby making any Anglo-Saxon victories against them seem more heroic. Archaeological evidence. The Viking settlers in the British Isles left remains of their material culture behind, which archaeologists have been able to excavate and interpret during the 21st centuries. Such Viking evidence in Britain consists primarily of Viking burials undertaken in Shetland, Orkney, the Western Isles, the Isle of Man, Ireland, and the northwest of England. Archaeologists James Graham Campbell and Colleen E. Beatty remarked that it was on the Isle of Man where Norse archaeology was remarkably rich in quality and quantity. However, as archaeologist Julian the 500th, Richards commented, Scandinavians and Anglo-Saxon England can be elusive to the archaeologist because many of their houses and graves are indistinguishable from those of the other populations living in the country. For this reason, historian Peter Hunter Blair noted that, in Britain, the archaeological evidence for Viking invasion and settlement was very slight compared with the corresponding evidence for the Anglo-Saxon invasions of the 5th century. Part 2. The Danelaw. The Danelaw, Danish, Danelagen, Norwegian, Danelagen, Old English, Danelagu, was the part of England between the late 9th century and the Norman conquest under Anglo-Saxon rule in which Danish laws applied. The Danelaw originated in the conquest and occupation of large parts of eastern and northern England by Danish Vikings in the late 9th century. The term applies to the areas in which English kings allowed the Danes to keep their own laws following the early 10th century Anglo-Saxon conquest of Danish-ruled eastern and northern England in return for the Danish settlers' loyalty to the English crown. Danelaw is first recorded in the early 11th century as Danelage. The Danelaw originated from the invasion of the great heathen army into England in 865, but the term was not used to describe a geographic area until the 11th century. With the increase in population and productivity in Scandinavia, Viking warriors, having sought treasure and glory in the nearby British Isles, proceeded to plow and support themselves. In the words of the Anglo-Saxon Chronicle for 8076, the Danelaw can describe the set of legal terms and definitions created in the treaties between Alfred the Great, the King of Wessex, and Guthrum, the Danish warlord, written following Guthrum's defeat at the Battle of Edington in 878, starting with the Treaty of Wedmore. Between the aftermath of the Treaty of Wedmore and Guthrum's death in 890, the Treaty of Alfred and Guthrum was formalized, defining the boundaries of their kingdoms, with provisions for peaceful relations between the Danes and the Anglo-Saxons, including allowing the self-governance of the Danes in exchange of loyalty to England. The language spoken in England was affected by this clash of cultures with the emergence of Anglo-Norse dialects. The Danelaw approximately covered Yorkshire, the central and eastern Midlands, and the east of England. Background: Scandinavian York. From around 800, there had been waves of Norse raids on the coastlines of Britain and Ireland. In 865, instead of raiding, the Danes landed a large army in East Anglia, with the intention of conquering the four Anglo-Saxon kingdoms of England. The armies of various Danish leaders had collaborated to make one combined force under a leadership that included Halfdan Ragnarsson and Ivar the Boneless, the sons of the legendary Viking leader Ragnar Lodbrok. The combined army was described in the annals as the Great Heathen Army. In 867, they captured Northumbria and its capital, York, Jorvik, defeating both the recently deposed King Osbert of Northumbria and the usurper Ella of Northumbria. The Danes then placed an Englishman, Ecgbert I of Northumbria, on the throne of Northumbria as a puppet ruler. King Ethelred of Wessex and his brother Alfred led their army against the Danes at Nottingham, but the Danes refused to leave their fortifications. King Burgred of Mercia negotiated peace with Ivar, with the Danes keeping Nottingham in exchange for leaving the rest of Mercia alone. Under Ivar the Boneless, the Danes continued their invasion in 869 by defeating King Edmund of East Anglia at Hoxne and conquering the Kingdom of East Anglia. Once again, the brothers Ethelred and Alfred attempted to stop Ivar by attacking the Danes at Reading. They were repelled with heavy losses. The Danes pursued. And on January 7th, 871, Ethelred and Alfred defeated the Danes at the Battle of Ashdown. The Danes retreated to Basing in Hampshire, where Ethelred attacked and was in turn defeated. Ivar was able to follow up this victory with another in March at Meritum, now Martin Wiltshire. On April 23rd, 871, King Ethelred died and Alfred succeeded him as King of Wessex. His army was weak and he was forced to pay tribute to Ivar in order to make peace with the Danes. During this peace, the Danes turned to the north and attacked Mercia, a campaign that lasted until 874. The Danish leader Ivar died during this campaign. Ivar was succeeded by Guthrum, who finished the campaign against Mercia. In 10 years, the Danes had gained control over East Anglia, Northumbria, and Mercia, leaving just Wessex resisting. Guthrum and the Danes brokered peace with Wessex in 876 when they captured the fortresses of Wareham and Exeter. Alfred laid siege to the Danes, who were forced to surrender after reinforcements were lost in a storm. 2 years later, Guthrum again attacked Alfred, surprising him by attacking his forces wintering in Chippenham. King Alfred was saved when the Danish army coming from his rear was destroyed by inferior forces at the Battle of Sinuit. The modern location of Sinuit is disputed, but suggestions include Countisbury Hill near Lynmouth, Devon, or Kenwith Castle, Bideford, Devon, or Cannington, near Bridgewater, Somerset. Alfred was forced into hiding for a time before returning in early 878 to gather an army and attack Guthrum at Edington. The Danes were defeated and retreated to Chippenham, where King Alfred laid siege and soon forced them to surrender. As a term of surrender, King Alfred demanded that Guthrum be baptized a Christian. King Alfred served as his godfather. Edward the Elder and his sister, Æthelfold, the Lady of the Mercians, conquered Danish territories in the Midlands and East Anglia in a series of campaigns in the 910s, and some Danish jarls who submitted were allowed to keep their lands. Viking rule ended when Eric Bludax was driven out of Northumbria in 954. The reasons for the waves of immigration were complex and bound to the political situation in Scandinavia at that time. They occurred when Viking settlers were also establishing their presence in the Hebrides, Isle of Man, Orkney, Shetland, Faroe Islands, Ireland, Iceland, Greenland, Lance and Normandy, the Baltics, Russia and Ukraine, see Kievan Rusis. And his successors. The Danes did not give up their designs on England. From 1016 to 1035, Cian II, the Great ruled over a unified English kingdom, itself the product of a resurgent Wessex as part of his North Sea Empire, together with Denmark, Norway, and part of Sweden. Knut was succeeded in England on his death by his son Harald Harefoot until he died in 1040, after which another of Sient's sons, Harthacnut, took the throne. Since Harthacnut was already on the Danish throne, this reunited the North Sea Empire. Harthacnut lived only another 2 years, and from his death in 1042 until 1066, the monarchy reverted to the English line in the form of Edward the Confessor. Edward died in January 1066, without an obvious successor, and an English nobleman, Harold Godwinson, took the throne. Later that year, two rival claimants to the throne led invasions of England in short succession. First, Harald Hardrada of Norway took York in September, but was defeated by Harold at the Battle of Stamford Bridge in Yorkshire. Then, 3 weeks later, William of Normandy defeated Harold at the Battle of Hastings in Sussex, and in December he accepted the submission of Edgar the Aetheling, last in the line of Anglo-Saxon royal succession at Berkhamsted. The Danelaw appeared in legislation as late as the early 12th century, with the Leges Henrici Primi, where it is referred to as one of the laws together with those of Wessex and Mercia into which England was divided. Chronology. 793 minus Viking raid on Lindisfarne, 800 minus waves of Danish assaults on the coastlines of the British Isles. 865 minus Danish raiders first began to settle in England. Led by the brothers Halfdan and Ivar the Boneless, they wintered in East Anglia, where they demanded and received tribute in exchange for a temporary peace. From there, they moved north and attacked Northumbria, which was in the midst of a civil war between the deposed King Osbert and the usurper Ella. The Danes used the civil turmoil as an opportunity to capture York, which they sacked and burned. 867, minus following the loss of York, Osbert and Ella formed an alliance against the Danes. They launched a counterattack, but the Danes killed both Osbert and Ella and set up a puppet king on the Northumbrian throne. In response, King Ethelred of Wessex, along with his brother Alfred, marched against the Danes, who were positioned behind fortifications in Nottingham, but were unable to draw them into battle. In order to effect peace, King Burghred of Mercia ceded Nottingham to the Danes in exchange for leaving the rest of Mercia undisturbed. 868 minus Danes captured Nottingham. 869 minus Avar the Boneless returned and demanded tribute from King Edmund of East Anglia. 870 minus King Edmund refused Avar's demand. Ivar defeated and captured Edmund at Hawksney, adding East Anglia to the area controlled by the invading Danes. King Ethelred and Alfred attacked the Danes at Reading, but were repulsed with heavy losses. The Danes pursued them. 871 minus on 7 of January. Ethelred and Alfred made their stand at Ashdown, on what is the Berkshire North Wessex Downs, now in Oxfordshire. Ethelred could not be found at the start of battle, as he was busy praying in his tent, so Alfred led the army into battle. Ethelred and Alfred defeated the Danes, who counted among their losses 5 jarls, nobles. The Danes retreated and set up fortifications at Basingstoke, in Hampshire, a mere 14 miles, 23 kilometers from Reading. Ethelred attacked the Danish fortifications and was routed. The Danes followed up with another victory in March at Meriden, now Martin, Wiltshire. King Ethelred died on April 23rd, 871, and Alfred took the throne of Wessex. For the rest of the year, Alfred concentrated on attacking with small bands against isolated groups of Danes. He was moderately successful in this endeavor and was able to score minor victories against the Danes, but his army was on the verge of collapse. Alfred responded by paying off the Danes for a promise of peace. During the peace, the Danes turned north and attacked Mercia, which they finished off in short order, and captured London in the process. King Burghred of Mercia fought in vain against Ivar the Boneless and his Danish invaders for 3 years until 874, when he fled to Europe. During Ivar's campaign against Mercia, he died and was succeeded by Guthrum the Old. Guthrum quickly defeated Burgred and placed a puppet on the throne of Mercia. The Danes now controlled East Anglia, Northumbria, and Mercia, with only Wessex continuing to resist. 8755 minus the Danes settled in Dorset, well inside Alfred's Kingdom of Wessex. But Alfred quickly made peace with them. 8076 minus the Danes broke the peace when they captured the fortress of Wareham, followed by a similar capture of Exeter in 877. 877 minus Alfred laid in a siege, while the Danes waited for reinforcements from Scandinavia. Unfortunately for the Danes, the fleet of reinforcements encountered a storm and lost more than 100 ships, and the Danes were forced to return to East Mercia in the north. 878 minus in January, Guthrum led an attack against Wessex that sought to capture Alfred while he wintered in Chippenham. Another Danish army landed in South Wales, arrived, and moved south with the intent of intercepting Alfred should he flee from Guthrum's forces. However, they stopped during their march to capture a small fortress at Countesbury Hill, held by a Wessex alderman named Oda. The Saxons, led by Oda, attacked the Danes while they slept and defeated their superior forces, saving Alfred from being trapped between the two armies. Alfred was forced to go into hiding for the rest of the winter and spring of 878 in the Somerset Marshes in order to avoid the superior Danish forces. In the spring, Alfred was able to gather an army and attacked Guthrum and the Danes at Edington. The Danes were defeated and retreated to Chippenham, where the English pursued and laid siege to Guthrum's forces. The Danes were unable to hold out without relief and soon surrendered. Alfred demanded, as a term of the surrender, that Guthrum become baptized as a Christian, which Guthrum agreed to do, with Alfred acting as his godfather. Guthrum was true to his word and settled in East Anglia, at least for a while, between 886 and 890. Minus the Treaty of Alfred and Guthrum formally comes into action, establishing the boundaries of the Danelaw and allowed for Danish self-rule in the region. 902 minus Essex submitted to Ethelwald. 903 minus Ethelwald incited the East Anglian Danes into breaking the peace. They ravaged Mercia before winning a Pyrrhic victory that saw the death of Ethelwald and the Danish King Eorric. This allowed Edward the Elder to consolidate power. 911 minus the English defeated the Danes at the Battle of Tettenhall. The Northumbrians ravaged Mercia but were trapped by Edward and forced to fight. 917, minus in return for peace and protection, the kingdoms of Essex and East Anglia accepted Edward the Elder as their suzerain overlord. Thelfold, Lady of the Mercians, took the borough of Derby. 9118, minus the borough of Leicester submitted peaceably to Thelfold's rule. The people of York promised to accept her as their overlord, but she died before this could come to fruition. She was succeeded by her brother. The kingdoms of Mercia and Wessex united in the person of King Edward. 1919, minus Norwegian Vikings under King Ragnvald Sigtryggsson of Dublin took York. 920, minus Edward was accepted as father and lord by the King of the Scots, by Regnold, the sons of Edulf, the English, Norwegians, Danes, and others, all of whom dwelt in Northumbria, and the king and people of the Strathclyde Welsh. 954 minus King Eric was driven out of Northumbria, his death marking the end of the prospect of a northern Viking kingdom stretching from York to Dublin and the Isles. 1002, St. Brice's Day Massacre of the Danes, 1066, minus Harald Hardrada landed with an army, hoping to take control of York and the English crown. He was defeated and killed at the Battle of Stamford Bridge. This event is often cited as the end of the Viking era. The same year, William the Conqueror, himself a descendant of Vikings, successfully took the English throne and became the first Norman king of England. 1069, minus Swain II of Denmark, landed with an army in much the same way as Harald Hardrada. Took control of York after defeating the Norman garrison and inciting a local uprising. King William eventually defeated his forces and devastated the region in the harrying of the north. 1075, Manus, one of Sweyn's sons, Canute, set sail for England to support an English rebellion, but it had been crushed before he arrived. So he settled for plundering the city of York and surrounding area before returning home. 1085, Manus Canute, now king, assembled a fleet for a major invasion against England. Informed of his planned crossing, William hurried back to England to prepare a defense, but internal threats forced Sian to cancel his plan. Other than Eystein II of Norway taking advantage of the civil war during Stephen's reign to plunder the east coast of England, there were no serious invasions or raids of England by the Danes after this. Geography. The area occupied by the Danelaw was roughly the area to the north of a line drawn between London and Chester, excluding the portion of Northumbria to the east of the Pennines. Five fortified towns became particularly important in the Danelaw: Leicester, Nottingham, Derby, Stamford, and Lincoln, broadly delineating the area now called the East Midlands. These strongholds became known as the Five Boroughs. Borough derives from the Old English word burr, cognate with German burg, meaning castle, meaning a fortified and walled enclosure containing several households, anything from a large stockade to a fortified town. The meaning has since developed further. Legal concepts. The Danelaw was an important factor in the establishment of a civilian peace in the neighboring Anglo-Saxon and Viking communities. It established, for example, equivalences in areas of legal contentiousness, such as the amount of reparation that should be payable in Wergeld. Many of the legalistic concepts were compatible. For example, the Viking wapentake, the standard for land division in the Danelaw, was effectively interchangeable with the hundred. The use of the execution site and cemetery at Walkington Wold in East Yorkshire suggests a continuity of judicial practice. Under the Danelaw, between 30% and 50% of the population in the countryside had the legal status of sokemen, occupying an intermediate position between the free tenants and the bond tenants. This tended to provide more autonomy for the peasants. A sokeman was a free man within the lord's soak or jurisdiction. According to many scholars, the Danelaw was an especially free area of Britain because the rank and file of the Danish armies, from whom sokemen were descended, had settled in the area and imported their own social system. Legacy. The influence of this period of Scandinavian settlement can still be seen in the north of England and the East Midlands, and is particularly evident in place names ending such as how, by meaning village or thorpe, hamlet, having Old Norse origins. There seems to be a remarkable number of Kirby Kirkby names, thought to stem from Old Norse kirk, church, compare Old English, cerise, cerise for church, and by, village. Some with remains of Anglo-Saxon buildings, indicating both a Norse origin and early church building. Old East Norse and Old English were still somewhat mutually comprehensible. The contact between these languages and the Danelaw caused the incorporation of many Norse words into the English language, including the word law itself, sky and window, and the third-person pronouns they, them, and their. Many Old Norse words still survive in the dialects of Northern England. Contact with Old Norse is also understood to have encouraged or accelerated the reduction of the Old English inflectional system and the transition to the more analytic grammar of Middle and Modern English. Four of the five boroughs became county towns of the counties of Leicestershire, Lincolnshire, Nottinghamshire, Nottinghamshire, and Derbyshire. Stamford failed to gain such status, perhaps because of the nearby autonomous territory of Rutland. Genetic heritage. In 2000, the BBC commissioned a genetic survey of the British Isles by a team from University College London, led by Professor David Goldstein for its program Blood of the Vikings. It concluded that Norse, Norwegian invaders settled sporadically throughout the British Isles with a particular concentration in certain areas, such as Orkney and Shetland. The study did not set out to genetically distinguish descendants of Danish Vikings from descendants of Anglo-Saxon settlers. That was decided on the basis that the latter two groups originated from areas that overlap each other on the continental North Sea coast, ranging from the Jutland Peninsula to Belgium, and were therefore considered too difficult to genetically distinguish. A 10-year genetic study, published in 2020, found evidence of a major influx of Danish settlers into England during the Viking period. Archaeology. Major archaeological sites that bear testimony to the Danelaw are few. The most famous is the site at York. Another Danelaw site is the cremation site at Heath Wood, Ingleby, Derbyshire. Archaeological sites do not bear out the historically defined area as being a real demographic or trade boundary. This could be due to misallocation of the items and features on which this judgment is based as being indicative of either Anglo-Saxon or Norse presence. Otherwise, it could indicate that there was considerable population movement between the areas, or simply that after the treaty was made, it was ignored by one or both sides. Thinghull was an important Danelaw meeting place, today located in Sherwood Forest in Nottinghamshire. The word how often indicates a prehistoric burial mound. How is derived from the Old Norse word hauger, meaning mound. The site's rediscovery was made by Linda Mallett, Stuart Reddish, and John Wood. The site had vanished from modern maps and was essentially lost to history until the local history enthusiasts made their discoveries. Experts think the rediscovered site, which lies amidst the old oaks of an area known as the Birklands and Sherwood Forest, may also yield clues as to the boundary of the ancient Anglo-Saxon kingdoms of Mercia and Northumbria. English Heritage recently inspected the site and believes it is a national rarity. Thinghull was a place where people came to resolve disputes and settle issues. It is a Norse word, although the site may be older still, perhaps even from the Bronze Age. Thank you for listening to A Survey of Anglican History. This episode is based on content from Wikipedia, used under the Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike license. The material has been adapted for clarity and narration. This podcast uses voice synthesis technology to assist in production, allowing for consistent and accessible storytelling.